Welcome to What's the 211 podcast, where we provide you with information about resources and programs in your community. 211 Maryland is a health and human service line for anyone seeking help for themselves or someone else. You can dial 211 if you need help with food, rent, or other services. Text your zip code to 898-211 or visit our website at www.211md.org. If you or someone is in a mental health crisis or needs help with substance abuse, dial 211 and press 1 to immediately be connected with someone.
So hello, welcome to What's the 211 podcast. And so we're honored today to have our guest, Amy Ocasio, president of Live for Thomas Foundation. So the next couple of podcasts, we will be discussing topics around mental health for the next several months. I encourage anyone who needs support for stress, anxiety, crisis, or thoughts of suicide to contact our 211 press 1 and be immediately connected to a crisis support specialist. It's free and confidential. Good morning, Amy. Thank you for joining us. How are you today?
Good. Thank you for having me. How are you?
Good, good. Can you tell us a little bit about Live for Thomas and why this nonprofit was created?
So the Live for Thomas Foundation was created in honor and memory of my son Thomas, who passed away July 20, 2019. He was 16 years old when he took his own life. Live for Thomas, during his funeral service, the hashtag Live for Thomas took hold, which is kind of where we came up with the name Live for Thomas Foundation. And it's just recognizing his life, honoring him, bringing awareness to mental health, mental illness, suicide prevention.
And that's definitely a wonderful way to continue to memorialize Tommy. Can you tell us a little bit about who Thomas was?
So there are so many things to say about Thomas that I could probably talk all day long about him. But the one thing when I think about who he was, people would tell me so much about the joy that he brought and his smile. People would refer to him just having this contagious smile, life of the party. You knew when Thomas was there, he was the kid that his friends went to, other people went to him. Just the messages I got following his death from kids I didn't even know about how he helped them through either being bullied or other circumstances that they were going through, and just the impact that he had on different people's lives. Now, Thomas, he was, to me, I say you're typical boy. He loved to hunt, loved to fish, played sports. Anybody that knew Thomas loved to eat crabs. That boy would eat crabs morning, noon, and night if he could, all season. But he was really all about family and friends. That's what was important to him. He was definitely a mama's boy. Him and I had a really good relationship. So he really had a heart for people. And there's some comfort in knowing that both in his life and in his death, he has left an impact on people.
That's great to know. And so when Thomas, and we read earlier, even through the site, that Thomas was diagnosed with depression, how did that affect him, family, and friends during that time?
So Thomas never had an official diagnosis of depression because he refused treatment. And a lot of that is related to the stigma of treatment. Thomas, very much his goal was to get in the military. And he had been informed that if he had a mental health record, that he wouldn't be able to enlist. And we had multiple conversations about what treatment could look like for him. And he acknowledged that treatment would be helpful for him, but he was very much fixated on wanting to be able to join the military. I come from a long line of military. There were other factors in his life that I know that contributed to him really wanting to enlist in the military. And unfortunately, I think that became the biggest barrier for him getting treatment, because like I said, he did acknowledge that treatment would help him.
And you mentioned stigma, and I know that's one of the things that you have definitely been advocating for, especially with the organization. What role do you think, I guess, culture plays in stigma, and how do you think stigma just plays a role in mental health generally?
I think there's still very much, men are weak if they ask for help, if they show any type of emotion. Most of Thomas and Michaela's life, Michaela is my daughter, his sister. I've been a single mom, and Thomas he would use the phrase with me, well, mom, I'm the man of the household, things like that. And I'm like, well, you don't have to be the man of the household. I'm mom, you can be my son. And there were things he would tell me that, well, I don't want you to have to shoulder this. Like, you know, I'm the man, I should take care of this. So I think there's still very much this perception that like men can't be vulnerable, that they can't talk about, you know, what they're going through, that they have to uphold some type of expectation or standard or responsibility that I think very much gets in the way. During Thomas's funeral, I mean, I don't remember specifically everything I said, because truth be told, I hadn't planned on speaking at his funeral, but I did. And I remember addressing the men and the boys, like in his service, about like really reaching out to each other and like for men to set that example and model behavior that like, it's okay. You don't have to like keep these things in, and to change that narrative. I do think now with more athletes coming out, talking about like their own mental health struggles, I think there's starting to be a shift, but I do think just even in conversations with adolescent males or other adult males that I've talked to, like there still definitely seems to be that barrier though.
Yeah. And we are glad to see that, you know, more athletes and men are discussing it. And so, you know, with the organization and as a mom, you know, how was your daily experience and just supporting your son, supporting Thomas through each day?
So I definitely found struggles with finding that balance. Because with both of my kids, I've learned that if I let them come to me, that they'll talk. But if I started asking questions, that's when they just kind of shut down. So as he started opening up more about what he was going through, what he was experiencing, was finding that balance of, I want him to keep talking. Like he talked to me one time about, he just wanted to be numb. What most people don't know was that Thomas had started self-medicating and he started engaging in self-harm. And when we had those conversations, it was, I just want to be numb. I don't want to feel anything. So when asking questions, well, like, what do you want to be numb from? Like, I couldn't ask those questions because he would shut down. So like, yeah. It was finding that balance of, okay, how much do I push? When do I pull back? And unfortunately, I think in Thomas's case, we just ran out of time having those conversations because he did start opening up more and more, and we ran out of time.
And so with the work that you're doing now with the Live for Thomas Foundation, are there things that, you know, you've learned, you know, through the work that, you know, you wish parents knew more, or, you know, you wish teens and young adults probably knew more about mental health and just dealing with the day to day?
I would say when I think about teens and young adults is recognizing that when you're in that crisis moment is not going to last forever. I recognize in that moment, it feels like it's going to, but if you can just get past that crisis moment and know that you're not alone, that there are people who love you, there are people who care about you, there is help available, you can get past that moment. Because in that crisis situation, you make a decision that unfortunately, you know, you can't come back from. So just recognizing that there are people out there that do want to help you and that you don't have to go through this by yourself.
Yeah. And I've learned, you know, even with my own, you know, family members and kids, you know, language, you know, plays a big role. And so what do you, your thoughts around just, you know, language and how we speak to someone who may be dealing with, you know, depression or just other mental health concerns, you know, just speaking with them and just the language that we use?
I think it's important to not dismiss what somebody is saying. Like as a parent, I recognize that sometimes what my kids were going through, that you think, really, like this isn't that big of a deal. Mm-hmm. But as a teenager, it is a big deal in their life at that moment. So while I may not have recognized certain things as a big deal, it is to them. So I think not minimizing or just downplaying what they're going through, like really, you know, just listen. You don't even have to understand, like, okay, I don't understand why this is a big deal, but you know what? It is to my child. So let me find out more about what's going on and ask them, you know, what do you need from me? Like, what will be helpful for you in this situation?
That's definitely great advice. Is there anything that, you know, you've learned this year from the advocacy work and the work that the foundation is doing and your involvement in the community about mental health that you may didn't know before?
I think one of the biggest eye-openers for me was learning that when someone has made the decision to follow through with their plan to take their own life, that you can see a shift in their mood. Thomas, I recognized that his depression was on a decline. I had became aware of some things and we had lots of conversations. And then it seemed like all of a sudden he was like on this upswing. Like he kind of seemed to bounce back to being Thomas again. He had been approved to graduate early in order to enlist in the military. And he got that news on a Wednesday. And unfortunately I found him that Sunday, but there was like this shift. He was more upbeat. And I have since learned that that's one of the things to look for is when somebody goes from being depressed to all of a sudden having this complete shift in mood, that's a huge red flag that they may have kind of just come to terms with their plan and that they were going to follow through with it.
That's good. And so I know that you are part of a group in Cecil County, Families and Communities Experiencing Suicide, acronym FACES. And that vision is to be a leading advocate for suicide prevention, intervention, and postvention efforts in Cecil County. So what does the group do and how is it helping others in Cecil County?
So the group was actually formed by another mom who lost her son to suicide. Her son passed January of 2018, and then the group was formed in September of 2019. And we have all kinds of committee members on there, other lost survivors, mental health agency, Cecil County Public School Systems on it, Sheriff's Office, 211 is part of it, which we appreciate, and you know, many other community members. And the idea behind the group is really just getting awareness out there, providing information, helping people break that stigma, having those conversations. How do you have conversations with people, changing the narratives? We do a lot of outreach work. We've been present at the Cecil County Fair. We were at Pause for People. We do have some exciting stuff coming up in 2022, but because logistics are being worked out, I don't want to say what those are yet. So just kind of stay tuned for the things that we do have in the works. But there's been a lot of movement and we're headed in the right direction in being able to provide services to people who are struggling with mental illness or suicidal ideations, or even the loss of somebody to suicide. Two of the members, I feel like I need to talk about them while we're talking about FACES. So the mom that created the group, Stephanie, she also has a nonprofit, Be My Voice, in memory of her son. Jen, who lost her husband to suicide, he was a veteran. Her foundation is the Doc Perry Foundation. And then we have Becky, who runs the Sunrise Support Group. And we're not sure that people know we do have a support group here in Cecil County. So if you've lost somebody to suicide, there is a support group available. So I just feel like when we're talking about FACES, like really showing that we have multiple nonprofits, supports in our county that people might not be aware of.
Okay. And how does that, you know, help? And I'm sure that makes a difference when you can have sort of the community come together to provide support where there's, you know, county government, there's the health department, you mentioned other nonprofits, and especially the school system, you know, which is unique to have the school system to be a part. How do you think that's helping, you know, with the school system and understanding what others may be facing? How do you think that is really helping with the group and really advocating and getting the word out?
I'm going to speak from a parent point of view and advocate that having the school a part of it, it provides a different perspective because sometimes I think it's easy to be like, oh, they should be doing this or they should be doing that. And having those conversations about even what their barriers are, and it's not that they don't want to promote mental health, suicide prevention, and all of that, but recognizing, and not just with the public school system, but with really any agency or program, like there are other factors that may be a hindrance. So being able to have those open and honest conversations about, okay, what do you guys need from us? This is what we're looking for from you. And then how can we work together? Because we all have the same common goal. Everybody that's a member of FACES, we all share the same common goal. And now it's just navigating all the different, like, you know, nuances with the different agencies and how they have to operate.
Right. And so as you are aware, you know, 211 Maryland has created the Health Check program in partnership with several legislators and the Maryland Department of Health, Behavioral Health Administration, that anyone can sign up for, you know, whether they have trouble with anxiety or stress. And so this provides weekly check-in calls to individuals who will sign up by text or call. How do you think this resource might be helpful for those in the community with having someone to call and check in on them?
I love this concept. I can speak for myself personally that I struggle with asking for help. Those that know me know I'm a helper. So for me to turn around and say, hey, I need help, it's been a struggle. I've been trying to work through that. But I have found that I'm more inclined to tell somebody when I'm struggling when they reach out to me like, hey, I'm just checking in, how are you doing? And I'm more inclined to say, you know what, today I'm just not really having a good day. I'm really missing Thomas, you know, versus me sending a text message to somebody going, hey, I'm really struggling today. So I think the concept of this really works with that, and having somebody reach out to them, which then opens up that conversation to make it easier, especially for people that struggle to reach out. Or maybe they're so, whether they're in crisis or headed towards crisis, they may not have the capacity at that moment to think, oh, let me reach out to somebody. So by having somebody reach out to them, then that opens up that conversation.
Yeah, that is true. As we have learned that most folks who may be in crisis are really just trying to survive. And so really having that someone to check in on them is great. I read where, you know, Thomas wanted to get a special tattoo when he was old enough, but unfortunately wasn't able to, but you were. Can you tell us a little bit about that story?
So Thomas and I would watch Ink Masters together, and he would tell me when he was older that he wanted, who was on season 4 of Ink Masters, to do his first tattoo. So June of 2019, Thomas and I he started looking at ideas that he wanted. He knew he wanted a full sleeve. And I told him when he turned 17, which would have been that September, I'll sign for you to get your tattoo, whatever, especially if he was going into the military, he could get it before he went. Unfortunately, he passed July 2019, so he did not get his tattoo. But I reached out to the shop probably about a month after Thomas died and shared his story and asked about how can I get scheduled with Halo. So we got my appointment scheduled. It was a little bit of a wait to get booked with him, but I will say it was definitely worth the wait because there's a lot of meaning behind it. So not only did I have a full memorial piece done for Thomas, I had who he wanted to do it, and we incorporated pieces of what Thomas wanted. So some of the pieces that Thomas saved, it was kind of recurring. I noticed in the pictures was a lion. So I do have a lion tattooed, like the stopwatch with the roses. I have that tattooed on me. And then all the other pieces, like I have Thomas's portrait. I have a flag and dog tags to represent like his love of the military. We have a hunting scene to represent all of that. And then I have sunflowers because I used to sing You Are My Sunshine to him. So it's representative of that. So being able to tie what Thomas wanted into his memorial piece. And I feel like I should add that Halo is at Black Lotus Tattoo Shop in Hanover. I feel like I need to mention where he's at since he did such an amazing tribute to my son.
Such a great story. So with everything that you sort of learned this past year and with the advocacy work, and we know, you know, why you are doing it, what is it that you sort of hope to achieve through the organization and that, you know, you would like to see in Cecil County and really across Maryland for those in need of mental health support?
More conversations, more people getting the help that they need without feeling the shame of asking for help, without feeling that there's something wrong. I've had conversations with people when, like, the idea of, you know, going to a therapist, they're like, well, I'm not crazy. I think recognizing that just because you see a therapist or get help in whatever capacity that looks like, it doesn't mean you're crazy. It doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you. You know, it's exploring what happened. How did you get to this point? What can we do to help you get beyond this? And I am a huge advocate. I mean, anybody that knows me, like, really just breaking that stigma about men, like, it just grinds my gears when, you know, I hear people, you know, still talk about, oh, well, boys will be boys, or, you know, suck it up, or, you know, boys don't cry. Like, no, let's encourage them to have those conversations and really change the narrative of what it means to be strong. And that strength is getting help that you need. Strength is meaning you don't have to carry this by yourself. And strength is I'm here to do this walk with you, that you don't have to do it by yourself, and really lifting each other up opposed to putting each other down.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And especially during the holidays is a good time to have those conversations, and, you know, you're around family and just to really talk. Is there a good way, do you think, to at least start those conversations during the holidays when you're around friends and family?
Yeah, ask how you're doing and point things out, like, you know, hey, so I noticed that, you know, you haven't been hanging out as often, or hey, every time we have plans, you cancel. And not coming at them in an attacking way, but like, you know, is everything okay? Because when we used to have plans, like, we always got together, has something changed? So really be like intentional about what you're asking and encouraging that conversation. And when somebody says, oh, I'm fine or I'm okay, ask, well, what does fine mean? What does being okay mean? Because what's okay to me might be very different to you.
That's a great point. How can others learn more about Thomas and the foundation and how they can help support it?
So we have a website, liveforthomas.org. We also have a Facebook page, which is Live for Thomas. And then Instagram is Live for Thomas, but the four is the number four. So we have a couple different ways. Our email address is liveforthomas@gmail.com. So if you want to reach out, ask more questions. So a couple different ways you can get in touch with us.
Okay. And what can someone support the organization with, or how can someone support?
Reaching out, sharing their stories with us, because the more we get people talking about it, I think just expands that support network and helps in our mission of having those conversations and changing those narratives. Financial support is always great because there are things that, you know, we have to pay for with running the foundation. We recently just had a toy drive. Christmas is Thomas's favorite time of year, and the toy drive benefits our local domestic violence rape crisis center. I had worked there years ago as our outreach coordinator and ran the Christmas program. So Thomas and Michaela would help me with that program and do shopping for toys and wrapping the gifts and stuff like that. So to be able to tie that back into Thomas as well. So even just showing that type of support is helpful.
Great. In closing, is there anything else you would like to share for listeners to know?
So there is one resource that I would like to share as well. It's out of Newark, Delaware. It's Unlock the Light Foundation, and they have Sean's House, which is on Main Street, and they're a 24/7 crisis facility, and teens can go there anytime. It's open to anybody, but it's a peer support center, and I think it is phenomenal. I wish it had been around when Thomas was here, because I think that may have, I would like to think he would have used their services, because it was peer support. It wasn't technically seeing a therapist, but he could go talk to somebody. So, and we've had kids go to Sean. I'm aware of kids who have stopped by there. When I say we, the foundation and the football program at Northeast High School, we took some of the players there. And to hear the feedback that we've got from that resource, how it's opened doors, I think it's really a huge resource, especially for teens, young adults to be aware of, that you can just go in and talk to somebody without having that stigma of, oh, I have to go see a therapist. No, you're just going to talk and hang out.
That's great. And so again, you know, thank you again for joining us, telling your story for Thomas and the foundation and the work that you're doing. Just a reminder for those who are in Maryland to call 211, press 1 for crisis, mental health, suicide support, or text your zip code to 898-211. You can also sign up for weekly check-in calls with a crisis support specialist by calling 211 or texting health check to 211-MD1. That's 211-631. Or learn more at 211md.org/health check. So Amy, thank you again for joining us. Good luck with the foundation, and definitely look forward to continuing to work with you.
Thank you. Have a good Christmas.
Thank you for listening and subscribing to What's the 211 Podcast. We are here for you 24/7, 365 days a year, simply by calling 211. Also connect with us on Facebook and Twitter at 211 Maryland or at dragondigitalradio.podbean.com.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.